Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Do you think you are in position to make a difference in this world? Do you think you're in position to make a difference in people's lives? If you and I do not have that vision, if we don't have that knowing inside us, then we will not fulfill the very purpose that God has us in position for. I know. It's like I heard a preacher say one time. He said, "I feel like a mosquito in a nudist colony. I know what I'm here for, but I don't know where to start." Now you can blame that on Ray Hughes. I heard that from Ray Hughes, and somehow it stuck. You know, but position to make a difference. You know, we're living in a day where there's a lot of struggling in life. There's a lot of depression, a lot of stress, there's a lot of hopelessness. People feel trapped. People feel greatly disappointed, either in themselves or in others. They feel forgotten. They feel confused. They can feel broken. They can feel beaten down. And that's all in this world that we live in, plus more. And a lot of people have no purpose. They don't know why they're here. So that is a perfect situation for us to be able to recognize that we're here for a purpose, to stir them to a place to knowing who they are. Some people don't even know who they are. Some people don't even know they're lost. You know, we have a bad habit sometimes of answering questions that people are not asking. Think about that for a minute. We have an agenda, and all of a sudden we haven't taken note of what's going on in their life and what is their question of life. But we want to tell them something else over here that's a scripture or that's something else, and that's not what God's wanting them to tell. It's not the scripture's wrong. It's the wrong time. Do you hear me? See, God has his word, but God also has his timing. So when you see people in their life and they're going through a lot of different things, don't be in a hurry to give scripture to them. Now, I know that's going to sound difficult. Be in a hurry to see what their need is and try to meet it. And this is not even part of my message. It's part of something just dropped in me. But Paul and Silas cast a demon out of a girl, and the people didn't like it. The religious folk didn't like it, and neither did anybody else like it. We don't want anything like that going on. But see, that's the Spirit of God. Sometimes we can't explain the Spirit of God. He just does. But he cast a demon out of a girl, and they locked Paul and Silas up, and that's when they put them, they beat them and put them in the deepest inner dungeon in stocks and bonds and chains and everything. And about, and everybody say, about midnight. About midnight, they started singing praise. They started worshiping God out loud. Worshiping God out loud. And to the point that all the prisoners heard it. So people are listening to your worship. So what are you worshiping? Big question. And to the place that God sent a great earthquake, shook the foundations of the prison, and the jailer came, and I don't know if he didn't hear the earthquake, feel the earthquake, or what, because it's not real clear, but the jailer came and looked and saw that the doors were open. Now it's dark, but he saw that the doors were open. And at that point in time, he drew his sword. Listen, he drew his sword and was going to fall on his sword because he knew that he was about to face torture and death, but he didn't want to be tortured, so he's certain death for him. So he's going to fall on his sword. And listen to this. Paul yells out with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself." Now, he didn't quote him a scripture. He didn't say, "Hey, you got to be born again." He didn't say that. He met the need of his life. Hey, do not harm yourself. And then he said what? We're all here. Nobody's left. We're all here. No prisoners have gone. We're all here. It impacted him. Now, I'm sure that if he noticed the earthquake, I don't know. But if he did, that probably made a difference in his life. But he was about to take his life. And then a word came forth to meet the need of his life. I'm telling you, you start meeting the needs of a life, you'll be able to open their heart to what God wants to tell them. You hear me? When you start meeting a need that's in their life, that you're concerned about their living, then they'll be able to open the door of their heart for more to be accepted. So the Bible says that right after that, said, "Don't. We're all accounted for. We're here. We're here." And then the jailer says, "What must I do to be saved?" Do you hear that? Answer the question that they're asking. Give answers to where they're living. And their heart will open for more of what God has to say. There's a saying that says, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. You know, there's some real truth in that. But anyway, let's start answering the questions of their living, of their life. What's going on and what's happening? And then we can minister to them, you know, because... Let me go to this. There's questions out there by people that says, there's nothing promising about my life. There's nothing about hope in my life. There's nothing going on that I even like. And they may not even be telling you that. But if you're aware of it, if you become aware of people's living and what's going on, people that you don't even know, you can notice the strain. You can notice the despair. You can notice the things that are troubling them. You can notice that. And then you can speak into that. There's questions out there. It says, is this predicament that I'm in, is it even changeable? And I've got some things to say that God really wants us to understand that he has positioned us to make a difference. There were people positioned last Sunday that made a difference in Jason Smith's life. We had Dr. Clint and Dr. Jackson was there, and we had two nurses. We had Rachel Aaron. You know, listen, don't feel bad about that. I didn't remember one of our elders' names, and I've been knowing him for years, and I said, and he said, Lee! See, he remembered his name, but I couldn't. But we had these two nurses as well. And they were all positioned last week to help someone physically. I just think it's amazing what God does in our midst. And sometimes we don't even recognize it. But I want to thank all of them and all the ushers that assisted and helped and all that. But there's people that's in shackle. They're in bondage and they don't know what to do. And we have the golden, the divine opportunity of making a difference in their life. You know, how do we do that? Watch this. Proverbs 18:21 says, life and death are in the power of the tongue. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. Love it what? Either way. You're either going to love the misery, love the death part, or you're going to love the life part. Whichever one you're going to love, whichever one you're going to choose, you'll eat that fruit. But see, it's not just the tongue. It's in the power of the tongue. That word power, it's just awesome. It means to have an open hand. In other words, you have an open hand with the means to give strength and direction. In your tongue is an open hand with the means to give them strength and to give them direction just by speaking it. Or you can give them death and destruction. You can give them weakness by the words you use. That's Proverbs 18:21, Proverbs 18:4. The words of a discreet wise man, this is in the Amplified, out of his mouth are like deep waters that is plenteous, difficult to fathom sometimes. And the fountain of the skillful and the godly, wisdom is like a gushing stream, sparkling, fresh, pure, and life-giving. Just from your words. Say, just from my words, I can do that. See, that's that God has given you that, and he's positioning you to do that. Proverbs 15:4 says, when you speak healing words, when you speak words of life, say words of life. When you speak words of life, you offer others fruit that is from the tree of life. But unhealthy, negative words do nothing but crush their hopes. That's out of the Message. Negative words only crush their hopes. See, we live in a world that really needs to know what true hope is. So God wants your voice. Yeah, you've offered him your heart. You've given him your heart. God wants your voice. God wants you speaking. He wants you to be a life speaker, not a lab speaker. We're already there. A life speaker. He wants us to speak life into other people's lives. Amen. Let's give you an example about that. Because reality, how many of you know that reality can shift just like that? A person's reality can change on a moment's notice by a word. Amen. By a single word. Or we can have destruction in our tongue, in our words. Criticism that tears down and not builds up. Let's go to Ezekiel 37. Y'all know this and y'all heard this, but we're gonna share a few things. Ezekiel 37, the hand of the Lord, as Ezekiel said, the hand of the Lord was upon me. That's the beginning. So the hand of the Lord is already upon you. The glory of the Lord is on you. If you're born again, the glory of the Lord is upon you. Out of Isaiah. And you'll be sent to gross darkness, deep darkness, to make a difference in that darkness. That's the reason he's caused his glory and caused his presence to be upon us. Because he's going to use us. Glory of the Lord is upon me. And he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord. He's going to take you out of where you are. He's not going to take you out of the kingdom. He's not going to do any of that. He's going to take you out from where you are and put you in a place that's called a valley. And it's somebody else's valley. Do you hear me? He's going to take you from where you are and put you right in the middle. Because he said, and he set me down in the middle of a valley. It wasn't even his valley. It was another's valley. God's going to guide us to valleys that belong to other people so we can actually speak forth life to help them find their destiny where they are. Come on, yeah. Or we can say, oh, well, it's none of my business. Oh, well, what does that matter? It doesn't impact me, but it does. He sent me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. So he noticed this valley is full of bones, and he didn't like what he saw. He caused me to pass among them round about. Said he caused me to look and turn in every direction. He caused me to observe what was going on. Are you awake enough for God to tell you and show you what's going on in other person's life, or are we too busy? It's not a critical sermon. It's not one of those things. There should be an awakening that you are positioned to make a difference when you leave this door. Amen. When you leave this place, you're in position. You have the Spirit of God in you and upon you. You're in position to make a difference in other people's lives. And we just need to listen to what God is saying. But anyway, he goes on. He said, he called me to pass around about them. And there were very many on the surface of the valley. In other words, they wasn't even buried. The death of things were already exposed. So he's gonna show you that he's gonna expose some things to you, share some things to you if we're looking. So you can have words to be able to speak in a person's life. See, there's people out there waiting today, just waiting for a word from God. Amen. They don't even know they're waiting. Some do. Some are crying out for it. Some don't even know they need a word from God, but yet he's going to send you to say something. Not going to be religious, not going to be anything of that nature. It's going to be something that God wants you to tell them. It may be, did you know that God loves you more than you can ever? Just words of life, words of hope, words of deliverance, words of peace. Are you hearing me? It's needed. It's much needed. He goes on, he said, not only were they dry, but they were very dry. And he said, Son of man, can these bones live? That's a good question. Can these bones live? And the prophet, he's like, phew. And then he's out of his wisdom, he says, oh Lord, only you know. You know. And again, he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word. Now, what is he about to do? He's about to speak the word of the Lord. But see, this is the Lord telling him what to say. This is the Lord saying, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And thus saith the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter in you, and you will come to life. I will put sinews, the tendons on you. And I'll make flesh grow back on you. And I'll cover you with skin and put breath in you that you might live, not might come alive. So this is what God's telling him to say. This is what I want you to say. This is what I want you to prophesy. This is how I want you to start this new beginning for these bones. This is how I want you to operate in the midst of something that looks dismal, bleak, hopeless. And this is what I'm sending you here to do. Not to look at it and say, oh, well, nothing I can do. Oh, well, it doesn't matter to me. Oh, well, whatever happens, happens. Whatever will be, will be. Que sera, sera. No, see, God did not want us to be a people of that nature. God said, you know, I'm using you. I'm sending you. And I'm putting words in you so you can tell other people to bring them to a destiny that they don't know about. But you got to be willing to do that. You got to be willing to step out and do that. Amen? Yes. See, this thing about, he said, you become alive and you will know that I am the Lord. See, to prophesy here, he said, prophesy, it means to speak or sing with inspiration, forthtelling of a certain discourse. See, when this group up here, they're just not leading worship. They're also prophesying. Their instruments are prophesying. It's found in Chronicles with David and his mighty musicians that he said, prophesy. Prophesy with the music. Prophesy with the words. Prophesy with the sound. Amen. Have you ever heard the word? Have you ever heard the voice of God speak to you in a song? All right. What was that song doing? Prophesying. Telling you. Okay. He goes on and said, many times the prophet's message is conditional to the response of the people. That's the reason he said, hear the voice of God, hear the word of the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. I prophesied as I was commanded. As I was told to prophesy, I did. As I was told that way, I did. He said, and I prophesied. When I did that, there was a sound. Behold, a rattling. Let me ask you this. Do you have a rattling story? Do you have a story about the rattling? Do you have the story about something coming alive in you? That God said something to you and all of a sudden it rattled inside you and all of a sudden it became you? All of a sudden it changed everything about you. It changed everything about the situation. See, that's a rattling. See, the thing is, we need to have rattlings where we did that for others. We need to be able to share that, hey, I was in this rattling the other day. What was it? What was it? Well, here's the story. I said this and this and this to a man, and he did this and this and this, whatever it is. I saw the difference in the man or the lady's voice or the child's voice when I said, see, that's a rattling story. A rattling reality. rattling, and bones came together, and it said bone to its bone. It's just not a bunch of bones just start connecting. No, the right bone was connected to the... Oh, that's another song. Bone to its bone. The one that was supposed to be there was there. See, that's God's work. That's God's work. You can't go through a valley of bones and put them together on your own. You'll get them mixed up. We'll get them all mixed up. He said, and they came together, and I looked, and both the sinews were on them, and the flesh grew, skin was covered, but there was no breath in them. Watch this. They were moving. They had this stuff. They were up off the ground. They had skin. They had all of this, but they did not have life. Do you hear it? There's tons of people out there that have that same situation, but they do not have life. They're sweating on somebody just to meet a physical need, to meet a need that you care, for that heart to be open for them to see the love of Jesus. See, it's not about you and I. Never has been. It's been all about Him, but He wants us to be part of what He's doing, and He wants our voice to be able to say it. Turn to somebody and say, you are a voice. In the wilderness. See, they said, who is John? John, who are you? He said, I am a voice. Speaking where? In the wilderness. Now I'm a voice that stands on a platform. No, he said, I'm a voice that I'm willing to go to the wilderness. I'm willing to go wherever God sends me, wherever God positions me. I'm a voice to say what He wants to say to people. I'm telling you, can you imagine the difference if all 200, 300, whatever it is, all of us was to go out to this week sometime and run across somebody and speak words of life, words of hope, words of joy? Can you imagine what that will do? And not do it just one time, say, oh, it works. Or say, oh, it doesn't work. It always works. Let me tell you something about God and His Word. He said He exalts His Word above His name. It's in Psalm 138. You know why? Because that word name is reputation. Whenever He says a word, He puts His reputation on line. It's on the line. Because if He doesn't complete His Word, His reputation is spoiled. If He is known as someone who doesn't tell the truth and doesn't do what He says He'll do, His reputation is spoiled. So He said, I've lifted My Word above My name. See, His name's His authority. His Word, when it's spoken, it will not return to Him void. It will accomplish what it's supposed to do. That's the reason the Word that we speak that He's giving is so powerful to accomplish what it needs to accomplish in other people's life. Do you hear my heart in that? Do you hear that? Then he says, prophesy to the wind, and he says, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and he says, come from the four winds and breathe on those that were slain. And I really need to hurry. Here's the thing about it. Breath came, and they got life. And there stood an exceedingly great army. From a valley of dry bones to a place to total, complete victory. Just because someone heard what God said and went and said what God said, even to something that looked completely dismal. Hopeless. Then he said to me in verse 11, then he said to me, so son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. So this can actually impact a nation. Speak to America. Speak to the land of America. Speak life to America. Amen. Then he said, this is the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, what is Israel saying? Here's what Israel's saying. And here's what people are saying about their own life all out there. He said, Our bones are dried up. Our hope has perished, and we are completely cut off. Those three things what Israel was saying. Those are the three things that people are saying out there. Their bones are dried up. What does that mean? That means they're powerless and without strength. Don't have any power, don't have any strength. Then he said, and our hope has perished. What does that mean? We're hopeless and beyond help. I am beyond help. I'm really not beyond help. I didn't say that I'm beyond help. I'm saying people are saying that about themselves. I'm beyond help, man. No, they're not. They just haven't. They haven't had. Listen, they haven't had the right open hand coming out of somebody's mouth to be able to encourage them and let them find life and hope and peace and deliverance and victory. They just haven't seen that. They just haven't been the right person to come by with an open hand in their mouth. I'm here to help you. Then he goes on and says, I'm completely cut off. I'm in despair. There's no way out. I'm without purpose. Then he goes on I won't read it all, but here's the thing about it. I will open the graves. I will free them from their bondage. I will bring them into their land, which means there is an identity that I will give you. What? God's just looking for somebody to stand up and say it. And God said, I'll do this if you just say it. I'll do the work. You just say what I'm saying. Amen. He said, I will provide identity and I will put my spirit within you, which means you will no longer be without power. I'll bring you life. You'll no longer be without hope. I'll place you in your own land. You will no longer be without purpose or an inheritance. This is God said. God said, I'm longing to do this for people. I just need your voice. I just want you to be able to say it. I just want you to be able to say what I'm saying about it, and I'll do the work. I just need somebody to stand up and say, I'll speak to people. You just lead me to them, and when you want me to say something, you let me know what to say, and I'll say it. Yeah. Or will you do this? No, I'm in there. I can't. You know, matter of fact, I heard Pastor Terry said, this book is not a book of what? Can't. This is a book of can. Okay. Then he goes on and said, and you'll know that I am the Lord, and it is I that spoke this. They'll know. See, I just want to see, love one another and love them enough to be able to say what God is saying. And he'll be able to do the things that he wants to do in people's lives. We're going to start seeing people in a total different way than what we used to see them from this day forward. See, there's an accountability when you hear words. See, well, I didn't get all that, but you heard it. You heard it. So there's accountability on doing what it is that God says. And when he gives us instructions, there's an accountability on that. Either we'll do it or we won't. If we do it, we'll start building what we have on solid ground. Does that make sense? Yes. On solid ground. That's what God's after. That's what God's wanting us to do. We need to see each other from a different point of view. We need to see each other from heaven's point of view. Yeah, they might not have treated you right. They might not have been doing right. And they might be living like the devil. You hearing me? But God has a word for them. And he wants you to be able to hear it. And he wants you to be able to say it. Don't be afraid of it. Y'all know that if the praise team would come up, we're going to do something a little bit different right here. And then we'll close. You know, we do this song about rattle. You know, this word, this, but see, sometimes we sing that and we miss the very point of what God is telling us to do. See, he wants us to be able to speak with inspiration in saying what God is saying in order to be able to change lives, in order to be able to impact other people's lives. And, you know, the enemy will tell you, say, well, you can't prophesy. But see, that's a lie. See, in the New Testament, I wish you all prophesied. You can all prophesy. You can all say what it is that God said. Well, you know, what if I get it wrong? You're not going to get it wrong if you say what God's saying. You hear what I'm saying? You're not going to get it wrong. See, we have this conception that, oh, and we have this conception about false prophets. A false prophet is foretells something and it doesn't come true. Let's stone them. That's what they did in the Old Testament. Well, you have to look at all the prophets in the Old Testament that prophesied about Jesus coming. It never happened during their lifetime. But it did happen. So then, see, a false prophet is one that leads you to another God. That's a false prophet. One that leads you to depend upon someone else other than Jehovah. That's a false prophet. So don't be afraid to speak words of life. Are you with me? Don't be afraid to do that. He'll help you. Ask him, Lord, what do you want me to tell this person? I just feel like there's something to be said. Something happened the other Sunday. I'm not going to mention names. Something happened the other Sunday. Somebody after the message got up, went and got somebody, and went to a person, and they asked them to go with them, and went to another person and began to say something that God impressed upon their heart to tell them. It happened last Sunday. Just like that. And to the person that heard it, it brought encouragement. It built them up. It helped them. They felt stronger. And they felt that God was saying something directly to them. All it takes is your obedience. So, we're going to end with the song. And we're going to praise God for it. And this song is about rattle. Y'all know this song, right? So I want you to stand up. This is going to be our closing. Now, before I do this, is anybody here that says, I don't have Jesus in my life, and I want him in my life because I want what you're talking about? Is anybody, you do not have Jesus in your life? Anybody, lift your hand. If you're, all right, okay. All right, we're all family. So this time when you hear this song and you worship in the midst of this song, understand that you're singing about what you're about to go do. Are you hearing me? You're singing about, you're worshiping, and you're singing about what you're about to go do. So this is the seal. This song is awesome. It really is. You know, there's been some pushback on this song by some religious folk because they don't like it. They don't like the forthrightness of being able to prophesy and be able to say something to somebody that's going to change a life. You see, we're like Ezekiel. Can this person's life change? That's what, can this person's life change? And we're saying, God, you know. You know whether they can or not. And then he says, well, this is what I want you to tell them. And then he changes. Are you ready for that? Are you ready for a new experience of walking out of here with the validation of God to be able to speak what he's saying in order so he can work in other people's lives to bring them into their fullness of their destiny? Are you ready to do that? All right, let's sing this song, and after the song's over, you're free to go. And it may be 10 minutes. I don't know how long. I'm messing with you. Let's get it.
Saturday was silent. Surely it was through. But since when has impossible ever stopped you? Friday's disappointment is Sunday's empty tomb. Since when has impossible ever stopped you? This is the sound of dry bones rattling. Make a dead man walk. Open the grave, I'm coming out. I'm gonna live again. This is the sound of dry bones rattling.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.